Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. When we dream, sometimes we remember the dreams and sometimes we do not. I recently had a dream where I walked into a bank only to find a large line waiting for the tellers. I don't know about you, but if there is a long line to be found, I think I'm pretty good at finding it. And in my dream, I was in a bank in a very, very long line. Typically at banks, my experience is most wait quietly, say nothing, or talking in lower voices with those who are there with them. Very few customers engage other customers. But in my dream, the customer in front of me turned around to let me know that he had waited in line longer than anyone else. In my dream, I found myself wondering if I would find myself also waiting a very long time. And while standing in line, wondering how long I would wait, I saw customer after customer finishing their banking with a teller and wondered when it would be my turn. The reason I remember that dream is I woke up during the dream and immediately thought how different that dream was. And it made me think about a passage from the Bible about how we are all called to the faith, even though each of us might have different experiences within the household of faith. Where we were born sometimes plays a large role that shapes what will be our life experiences. And yet when we are called, we all share the responsibility in being a fellow laborer in Christ. In a parable, Jesus explained how the kingdom of God can be compared to the owner of a vineyard who hires workers for the vineyard throughout the day. And each of them was paid the same amount. Some were hired in the very early morning hour, and others were hired throughout the day. Some were even hired towards the end of the day, where they only worked a little, and each was paid the same amount. From a work perspective, we probably wouldn't like it if our paycheck was exactly the same as somebody who worked a whole lot less than we did. And yet, that is exactly what Jesus was explaining in this parable. In the parable, the owner of the vineyard explained that it was his prerogative what to pay his workers. He asked if his intention to pay everyone the same was the cause for their angry feelings. He added that it is not about being first or last, but about being called and chosen. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call all the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought about 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil? because I am good. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. However, we find ourselves called by God. We need to be doing what God expects of us. For instance, when God put Adam into the Garden of Eden, it was with the intent that he dress and keep it. He was given free rein over the trees of the garden and could eat the fruit of any of the trees, with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know what happened with Adam and Eve, and how quickly they were removed by God from the garden. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Being a laborer in Christ comes with the recognition that there are so many who are not laborers in Christ. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes who lacked spiritual guidance and direction, while also noticing all who were sick and ill. They had no shepherd to guide them and were scattered. When they needed spiritual strength, they fainted, and Jesus shared that while the harvest is great, the laborers are few. He told the disciples to pray that more laborers be sent into the harvest. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The work that we are to do must encompass the will of God. We are called to do that will with a sense of urgency, considering now is the time to do the work of God. We do not have the luxury to think we can delay doing the work of God, because spiritually there are so many who are ready for the truth as if they are ripe to harvest. The spiritual work that we do is not a work where we receive a paycheck so we can live on earth, but one where we are paid with eternal life, knowing that the work that we do did not start with us, but we need to do God's work, knowing we are part of something much bigger than just ourselves. John 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The labor that we do should bring us peace. There is nothing about doing the work of God where the yoke is hard and the burden is heavy. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As we do the work of God, God does not overlook what we do. He knows what we are doing and remembers it, considering it an act of love showed towards his name as we spiritually tend to the household of faith. Each of us needs to expect a measure of diligence from ourselves as we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that it is the diligent who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. As we do the work of God, we need to consider the words of Paul, who said, no matter what circumstances life had for him, that through Christ he could do all things because through Jesus Christ he had strength. He learned to be content in his circumstances of life and used those circumstances for the work of God. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The work that we do seeks eternal life in the kingdom of God, and it begins with faith by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and through his death and resurrection, we have the opportunity for eternal life and spiritual understanding. We do the work of God, knowing that through Jesus we will never hunger or thirst. And we do the work of God, knowing that it is God's intent that all who are called will have eternal life. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. As we do the work of God, we must be mindful of those also doing the work of God around us, because not everyone might be doing the work of God as we might think. There are some who, in doing the work of God, abandon understood concepts and focus instead on slivers of the faith. And there are some who are so focused on truth that any new idea becomes accepted as truth. Paul believed it was best that in doing the work of God, it was best not to burden others in doing the work of God. His preference was to provide for the needs of the ministry given to him so that he was directly accountable to God. He also taught that if a person did not work, they should not eat. And spiritually, if we are not doing the work of God, we should not expect to eat in the kingdom of God. We cannot confuse everyday interactions with others as doing the work of God, because if all we are doing is being nosy about what other people are doing in their lives, we might be seeking entertainment instead of doing the work of God. The household of faith is a household that must be focused on doing the work of God and not be focused on being entertained by the work of God or the people who are part of the household of faith. We should quietly do the work of God. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he hath received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. We might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves and an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. We who have been called to the work of God were once spiritually dead, living a life focused on sin, doing those things that are important to those not having the Holy Spirit. When we consider what frustrates us in society today, before we were called was once part of who we were. What we consider sin in society today was also once part of who we were. And for reasons known to God, God the Father had mercy on us and called us, giving us the Holy Spirit, made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Except for the calling and the Holy Spirit we have been given, we are not that far removed from the people not yet called and those who do not yet have the Holy Spirit. We have been recipients of grace and mercy. We are to use that grace and mercy to do the work of God, and we are spiritually created to do good works, to spiritually walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we think of doing the work of God, we might think we are not qualified to do that work. Paul told the Corinthians that the apostles were a spectacle to the world and considered to be fools for Christ's sake. He wanted them to know that they were wise in Christ when the apostles were weak, that they were strong and honorable when they were despised. All of us are called in different ways to do the work of God, but all of us are called to do the work of God. Paul explained that when the apostles were reviled, they sought to bless. When they were persecuted, they endured. When they found themselves defamed, they were gracious. Even though they were thought of as dirty and disposable, they worked. We must also do the work of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. In the work of God, and in whatever else we do, we serve Jesus Christ. Knowing we serve Jesus Christ and will be given the gift of eternal life, we must always be reminded that it is the kingdom of God and His righteousness we seek. We serve Jesus Christ, through whom eternal life is possible because of the calling we have been given by God the Father. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. We need to work so that God will find what we are doing pleasing and acceptable in His sight. That includes knowing what is written within the pages of the Bible and to understand what is meant. We favor what is written in the pages of the Bible rather than the teachings of man, including teachings of man that seems religious in nature. The Word of God in the Bible is never with error. But what man thinks of those words and how man interprets what we should do with those words can and will find itself in error, especially when there is a disconnect in being led by the Holy Spirit. The truth of God does not change. And those who are called of God and led by the Holy Spirit who serve Jesus Christ move from a life of sin to a life of righteousness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Doing the work of God means we can expect to be looked down upon society for the spiritual work we do. Instead of trusting in man, we trust in God and Jesus Christ, knowing we live in the end times when some have departed from the faith, believing lies over the truth. There are no changes to the truth of God we need to make to live in the modern world, because the modern world has abandoned the truth of God, and we cannot abandon the truth of God. Living in a society that is quick to reject the truth of God for its values, we hold fast to what is true, and we ignore any and all teachings that try to justify what society is doing. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Doing the work of God means we stay focused on what we are doing as part of the work of God, and never become jealous or concerned because another person is also doing the work of God. Paul explained that God can use many different people to help a person spiritually grow. We do not compete against each other within the work of God, because all of us are working together to do the work of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Being called and doing the work of God does not mean we are all given the same situations of life to do the work of God. Those who lived thousands of years ago had a different set of life situations than we have today. Even today, we can find ourselves with different life situations based on circumstances unique to who we are and where we live. The expectation for us is with whatever life circumstances we are given, we are to do the work of God. The letters to the churches of Revelation show some of the different life circumstances. For instance, the church in Philadelphia was told it had an open door that no man could shut, even though it had little strength, but remained faithful. This church was told to hold fast to what it had. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The church in Smyrna was told it would find itself in tribulation and would suffer at the hands of those who commit blasphemy that would lead to imprisonment and death to some of the faithful. Revelation 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The churches at Smyrna and Philadelphia lived a different set of life experiences, but both were told of the need to overcome and the opportunity for eternal life. Today, God calls people from all situations of life, and it is up to each of us how we respond to that calling in doing the work of God, regardless of the situations of life in which we find ourselves. If we have bad situations of life, most people would find no fault in being bitter or angry about it. But Paul reminded the Philippians to always rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice through the situations of life in which we live. We live through these situations of life without needing to have anxiety because we can directly appeal to God in prayer. We focus on those things which are pure, lovely, and of a good report, and we do the work of God. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Doing the work of God does not preclude us from helping others to improve themselves spiritually. But our focus needs to be on proving our spiritual standing with God. As we do the work of God, what we do must reflect the righteousness of God if we are to have eternal life. Doing the work of God means there is never stepping back from doing the work of God and causes us to focus on doing what is good, especially when around the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Doing the work of God may result in being mocked by society, but we should focus on doing good works so that what we do is like the light of a city that sets on a hill. Everyone in the valley below and on nearby mountaintops will see that light. Even though we might be mocked, we do not hide when doing the work of God and living a life reflecting His righteousness. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Doing the work of God is not an obligation, but a labor of love and a work of faith. We continue in what we do, knowing our patience and hope leads to our election by God, becoming examples in our communities, much like the early church in Thessalonica was an example to those who live nearby. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In doing the work of God, we know that mortal people cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And we also know that even when death overtakes a person who is faithful, there is the resurrection from the dead at the last trumpet. Knowing in the end through faith, death will be defeated, we must remain loyal and solid in the faith, and we must be doing the work of God. Not just a little bit, but we must be abounding in the work of God, knowing that what we do is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In some ways, it is like we are all standing in a spiritual line, awaiting our place in the kingdom of God. And it makes no difference if we wait a little while or a long time. No matter the length of time or the conditions we endure during our wait, we must endure to the end to be saved. And we must abound in the work of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.